Okay, thank you for your presentation. My name is Gabriel Dragomir. I'm coming from Romania. I'm one of the members of Drupal Romania Association. And besides Drupal, I'm also working with Semantic Web, also in a university context. This is how I first got into touch with what linked data and semantic web means. It's actually not a new idea. I suppose that most of you have heard at least once about semantic web. And initially, it came after the big HTML boom in the early 90s when we found ourselves producing a lot of information. And that information was not structured enough so that we can process it and do something with it in an automatic way. And this is how the idea of building some protocols and building initially a semantic web and right now web of data, something that exposes structured data in a friendly way, both to humans and to the machines. This is how it all started. From my experience, my personal contact with actual applications of semantic web came from the academic region. One of the uses was that, for instance, every university has a repository, an archive of articles published by the staff. At some point, if you have a lot of information, you need simply to be able to organize it very fast, for instance, to extract keywords from the abstracts, or maybe to map the articles that you have on a specific vocabulary. Most libraries use thesauries of terms for social sciences, for economics, for the tech domain. And this is how the semantic data comes to help, because you can simply go and pass a lot of text and then have it annotated in some format, usually RDF. And then you can simply organize your archive very easily. You can retrieve information very easily. You can do all sorts of things with this data, which is broken into very good pieces, knowledgeable pieces. Some other uses which appeared after the boom of the social web are the services that do monitoring on what's being posted on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. There are many commercial services that do this. One of them is UberView. I don't know if you ever heard about it. It initially was a Romanian startup that now it's going global. What they are doing is to create streams of data that come from Twitter, from Facebook, from LinkedIn, and to monitor specific keywords. It might be a brand, it might be a concept, it might be, a person. They're doing all this with the help of semantic engines. So the industry is quite serious at this point. And until some 10 years, I think, most of the tools that were usable to do this kind of treatment, to do natural language processing on text, most of the tools were commercial tools. We had a lot of frameworks that were based on libraries, on corpuses of words, usually for English, that would cost a lot of money. At some point, the idea was to gather all the informations, at least the basic of the framework, like the vocabularies and the ontologies that are used in natural language processing, in the semantic web, to gather them and put them together, create relationships between these all data sets. It might be the data sets that come from Library of Congress, it might be the data set that comes from UNESCO, from Wikipedia in the form of DBpedia, which is a processed index of all the Wikipedia records. So get all this together and set up a base for developing open access products that are able to work with semantic data. And this is how the linked data project appeared. What you have here is a graph. You've probably seen it before. It's a graph that maps the nodes. Each node is a data set, which is now being introduced into the linked data project. For instance, DBpedia, which has lots of links with other nodes like GeoSpecies, with Freebase, with OpenCalai, Project Gutenberg, Eurostat. These are all usually vocabularies or ontologies that are now linked together into this huge project. This started in 2007, and the first step was to see what are the open access datasets. The second step is to create links between them. Once you have a record in DBpedia that can be semantically linked with another record from Freebase, for instance, they tried to create and to express in a machine way this this link. After doing this, they converted all these vocabularies into a standard way. They converted them as RDF vocabularies and published them. And you can easily find them on Linked Open Vocabularies website. It looks like this at this point. This is the ecosystem of vocabularies, organized by realms. For instance, related to music, this is the big music ontology, and there are several vocabularies inside it. Including friend of a friend, for instance, which might be very useful if you want to create a record, a database record of a band together with its members. And then you create another one for another band, and they have two members that have been playing in both bands. By using this kind of ontology, you can model the relationships. John played in both bands. And then when you're processing a lot of data, let's say that you take a huge database of records published by maybe a music company, you can express all the records in this logic and then be able to run complex queries. Find me all the bands that play blues and they have a bass player that plays on Gibson. I don't know what. We can do all this kind of things. Thanks to having the information very structured and standardized. That's the general idea with the linked data. At this point, I didn't look these days to see how many data sets are, but I think that in general you can find a data set for almost any realm of information. It might be governmental, it might be culture related, IT. There are several other places where you can find these kinds of data sets. On Double3 we see they have a huge list of vocabularies, and all of them are working okay. They are basically usable in any project. I will not introduce all of them. Pool Party is an Austrian service. It's coming from an Austrian company. They have some of the vocabularies that they are using are developed in-house. And I'm showing it to you because the vocabulary that I'm going to demo today is coming from them. It is a vocabulary that stands for terms used in the social web. And it has a record for Drupal as well. I think even for Dries, it has a record in there. They're producing General Thesauri. They're producing open data. There is a thesauri which is now being published with human resources, terms related to human resources. This is very useful for analyzing CVs, for instance. If you want to extract automatically skills which are expressed in a CV, or requirements which are expressed into a job announcement. So the linked data is the basis of any project that needs to extract information in a useful manner from huge chunks of unstructured information. And what it is easily usable for, it's semantic annotation. I don't know if when you've seen my synopsis for this presentation, you were thinking that I was talking about annotations about like in Drupal 8 way. It's not about that. The semantic annotation is simply extracting a token, a keyword, or maybe a set of keywords from a text, and then being able to describe it according to a specific conceptual scheme, to a specific ontology. If it's the title of an article, it has a certain set of properties, the metadata behind it. If it is a personality, it will have another set of metadata. So this is everywhere where you will see annotation. I'm talking about semantic annotation. What's going on is that this annotation, as I was telling you earlier, are used to create relationships. I used to being able to have the definition of a concept. It may be an organization or a place, and be able to, for instance, to identify its definition and its URI. For instance, if you are using Wikipedia as the base for a city, let's say Budapest, by using semantic analysis and annotating the text where Budapest occurs, we can simply point it to its Wikipedia page and use it as a canonical page for this concept. That's the great idea. There are mainly two common uses of semantic annotation. We will see both of them at work later in this session. Named entity linking, it's an annotation that is limited to persons, organizations, and places. This is what OpenCalai is doing usually. Entity hub linking, this is a concept that comes from Apache Istanbul. I will introduce you to it later. It is a more general annotation that can be based on any vocabulary. Say that you have a vocabulary of concepts in kids' education, you can use that and find the occurrences of those keywords in several articles. The difference between them is that the first one, it's much more simpler as a process. You don't need to do a lot of algorithm intervention on the text. The second one requires to do lots of things. First, to recognize the language that a text is written in. The second is to do tokenization, to do annotations like parts of speech tagging, which means that for every word in a sentence, you have to know whether it is a verb or whether it is a subjective. You have to know exactly what's its role into that phrase, because otherwise the algorithm might fail. We have lots of terms which might have ambiguous connotations in every language. So to be able to recognize almost any kind of concept, you have to do a lot of treatment on the text. And this is where a tool that can be trained to do this for any language, no matter that it's English or Romanian or Hungarian, it becomes very valuable. This is what we didn't had 10 years ago, and this is what Apache Istanbul, firstly for me, this is personally one of the best things that provides. It is that we can have this kind of complex processing of text virtually in any language. But that's a more technical discussion. It's good to know that basically you have a lot of freedom with this kind of solutions. What does Apache Stumble? It is a framework, actually a set of components. It's written in Java. You can launch it with different combinations of components. If you only need to store vocabularies, you can launch it only with a entity hub component. If you need only to do some reasoning, if you have a lot of data that is already annotated, like the example that I was giving you earlier with players in various bands, you already have this information and you only need to infer relationships and use some rules on that data to produce new knowledge, you can launch it only with the rules and the reasoning component. Another interesting design is that everything is put in place to have a web interface. You can easily play with it, and you also have a web service endpoint for any resource. So it doesn't matter actually what's the end product that you're integrating it with. It might be Drupal, it might be even Joomla, or maybe WordPress. You simply have the web services to work with. Another feature is that you can process and import any kind of base data. It might be the index of DBpedia, it might be any of the vocabularies from the linked data, depending on what's the realm of usage that you have for it. This project initially started as a EU-funded project. It was a seventh framework project. It's open source. The project ended last year, I think. And right now it is being curated by the Apache Foundation. You can find it at stumble.apache.org. It is right now a major project. And probably in the next year you would already have the first stable release, major release. As I was telling you, it's a service-oriented architecture. Everything can be configured to return various formats, RDF, JSON, or JSON-LD. And actually, I think I should show it to you how it looks at this point. If the internet works. Okay, this is a cloud instance of Apache Stumble I've been set up for this presentation. It is the standard full build of Apache Stumble. And what you see on the first page are the major components of the solution. The enhancer is the simplest way to demo it. Just like in the OpenCalai demo, you can paste a piece of text. And depending on its configuration, it will produce annotations. So right now you can see the two types of annotation that that I was telling you about. People and organizations are named entities. These are usually, they come from DBpedia, like the Library of Congress. If I click on it, I would go to the record coming from DBpedia. At this point, this installation has two base vocabularies that it uses to produce annotations. The DBpedia, and the second one is a semantic web vocabulary coming from pool party. You can see that it has an entry for DrupalCon. This is the most basic use of it. You can access this as a web service via the REST API and simply post something like a simple phrase, and it will respond with the RDF annotations. These are less more annotations because it's a very small phrase. It's talking about Paris and Bob Marley. Okay. This enhancer is not storing anything in the data stores. It's simply, it has been designed to be used, produce an annotation, and then return the response, the annotated text. The content hub is more complex. If I put the same text, it will recognize some entities in it, some keywords, like Dries, DrupalCon, and so on. But it also stores what has been annotated into the Content Hub store. We have a record here, together with all its dependencies, so it can be reused. Once I annotated something, I have an URI that can be used for further annotations, for data retrieval, for meshing up data in all sorts of things and ways. The Entity Hub is probably the most useful component for Drupal. It is designed to, for instance, to be able to create a vocabulary from a third-party service. Imagine that you have a Drupal installation with its own vocabulary. It might be tags, it might be some specific vocabulary of that website, and you want to store it as a controlled vocabulary together with all the fields that we can attach to taxonomy terms. We can map these fields behind this, it's Apache Solr. We can map those fields as Solr fields, send them to Stumble, and then we will produce, one by one, we will produce a vocabulary that can be reused for any other purposes. This is what Entity Hub is designed for. In this installation, what it has, it is a Solr yard, is how they call it. It's practical data store set up specifically for the demo of today. It's been able to store different bundles like articles, organizations, people. These are the bundles that come in the demo. It also has a store that has been set up for the semantic web vocabulary. Basically what I did, and had to do this because it takes a lot of operations to do it, is to use a class that transforms a vocabulary into a Solr index. Then you import it in the backend of Apache Stumble and do some configurations to be able to make annotations based on that vocabulary. So this is already set up. But if you want to find out more about how this can be done, we can talk afterwards, or they have a very extensive documentation on the Stumble development site. Another important component are the reasoners. It can use different reasoning languages. This is an automatic inference engine. I was already talking about it earlier. You can write rules. You can. It has an interface for entering rules via web or by web services. You can write simple rules and then combine them into sets of rules, just like the rules works in Drupal, and then put them at work using the reasoners and expressing logical conceptual relationships between the data that you're operating with. Okay, and another interesting component is the Ontonet. This is actually a built-in component for creating vocabularies and ontologies. This is usually it's useful when you are a very advanced user in the semantic web. It also exposes a simple CMS interface. This is if you want a very simplified version of the entity hub of the first one that can be accessible from Drupal. It's made for older generation CMSs that are not okay with complex web service operation. So this is how it looks. I think I'm already running out of time. I will skip the details about the architecture, the components, I've already told you about them, and go directly to the integration with Drupal. What it does is it uses the support to format entities as RDF and to send them as web services. You can you can use it to index nodes, to index virtually any kind of contact in of content in Drupal. The interesting thing is that you can produce annotations as you enter text. You can use what's called a decoupled CMS paradigm to have an editor. I will show it to you a bit later. And an editor that behind the curtains is talking with the Apache Stumble server. It sends whatever content you have in the body form element, and then it sends you back annotations that you can have them on the text. You can also do this for taxonomy fields. What I'm demoing today is a distribution. It's made by IKS. This is the institute that's behind Stumble, done by Wolfgang Ziegler and Stefan Korluske. It uses the search API implementation for Drupal of Apache Stumble. You can find them, all of them, you can find them on the Drupal.org website and on GitHub. And it also uses the Vienna Editables library, which is a user interface designed specific for doing semantic annotations in a CMS. And the whole concept is that, unlike the old approach to CMSs, where we have the framework combined with the backend functionality, we have a database which is usually tightly coupled with the framework. Nowadays, we can use a decoupled approach that can have a backend anywhere. We can even store all the information on a backend like Apache Stumble, or use it in MongoDB or whatever. But if you're working with semantic content, Stumble is a very good place to have data. Or some other solutions like Fedora Commons or DSpace, which are more archive-oriented. You can have the content stored somewhere. You have the web framework, which only does the routing. It does the responses. It assembles the HTML responses. And then you have a web editing tool, like the Vienna Editables, which is responsible only for data entry and It simply makes use of whatever models you have in the data, in the content repository, and populates them with information. You can find more about this concept on Henry Bergius' blog. You have the link here. And I will publish the presentation anyway. Okay. So what the demo has is the DBpedia is a basic vocabulary for doing annotations, named entity linking. It has the semantic web thesauri set up for recognizing concepts related to the semantic web. And I will use it to first to index Drupal entities, all the Drupal entities that are defined in the batch assemble, and then create some new content and do a dynamic annotation on it. You can download the distribution from partially from GitHub and from Drupal.org. It comes with comes with a basic set of modules. The demo produces content for demoing purposes. It comes with the REST client with the V library and with some predefined bundles. When I set up the Search API Stumble integration, it has two initial records, a definition for the Stumble default server. This is Stumble endpoint that simply requires some variables to be set up, like the host, the port, and the storage, the data store that we are writing into. And then the index. The index is highly configurable. You can map here the fields to solar fields. You can set up some workflow options, like to enforce node access or exclude unpublished nodes. More important are treatments to the text, like if you want to ignore cases or you have a list of stop words that has to be eliminated from the content, or if you need to treat the sentences in a different way. The tokenizer is providing a variable for entering a regex expression so that you can define which are the delimiters for every word. And everything is quite these are the basic configurations that you need to do in any text processing job. Okay, right now it is unindexed. I don't know if it's big enough. It simply shows that there are 16 nodes that are unindexed, and I will start them, the index of them. Right now, it has produced records in the Stumble data store. And each of them has, as Yuri, it has the system path, like node 16. And this is what it stores. Is it big enough? It is a very simple ontology being used here. Basically, it uses Dublin Core to to store information like the date the node was created, the author, the URI. It stores the full text, some subject headings, which are not very beautiful right now. They just refer to the taxonomy terms which are attached to the to that node. It's actually a smaller article about semantic Drupal. And you can see that it creates also the records. There is a cached record in it, in the entity hub, so you can get it fast via web service whenever you need it. This is the basic strategy to be able to index content into Solr and into Stumble and annotate it. What comes next is whenever you need to create an article, I'll use the same text that I would have demoed in directly on Stumble. And this is where the VNI editables come into place. It is linked to Stumble, to both the indexes based on DBpedia and Semantic Web. And now it produces recommendations for annotations. For instance, for Drupal, it has found four alternative annotations based on the Semantic Web vocabulary. It might be Drupal, DrupalCon, Drupal 7, or Drupal plugins. It allows you to select which one of them you want to use for other concepts as well. Open source. Here you can already see that there are records coming from both indexes, from DBpedia and from Semantic Web as well. And the same functionality is exposed via a special widget for the tags. If I want to enter Drupal as a tag, I'm also offered the mappings with the indexes on Stumble. So that's the basic use that we can have for Stumble in a Drupal site. Depending on whatever project you might have, you can create very complex setups. The idea is that at some point, without going through VNI editables interfaces, without going through the user interface, only with web services, when you're importing data, you're migrating content from another website, and you already have that controlled vocabulary, the taxonomy system of that old site, you can get it into Stumble, create it, edit it as a Solr index, and then do annotations on the fly as you import data. You can easily integrate this just by using the web services, and it can save a lot of time. It's one of the use cases. So I will stop here. I've already been talking for 40 minutes, and if you have questions.
So thanks very much.
Does the Stumble require any training situation? I mean, the training on the data. Is it be ready from out of box, just fit with the data, or Stumble needs to be trained for using annotation?
Out of the box, it comes with, for instance, the parts of speech taggers. Work for English, for German, French, Italian, Spanish, but you can also train your own post tagger. It is based on OpenNLP. It is the back package.
Okay, anyone else?
What's What about usability? What about usability? because that editor, that in-place editing, looks really interesting, but I think inexperienced authors would probably be frustrated by it, I think, because it's kind of like the way that the entities are exposed with the ads and then the database that it's coming from. I think like if you don't know what's going on, that could be really a big issue. Do you have any experience about that? Like, are you using it somewhere in production with mere humans, or that's not available
so
yet?
So you are referring to the casual user that has no idea that this is a semantic enabled website. No, I've never been into such a situation. It might be a delicate case actually. Yeah. Because it looks quite sci-fi.
Well, yeah, I think it's really awesome, right? I was talking with Stefan about it, and yeah, I think there's a lot of really interesting possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, to just take your entities in your sites and just exposing all of that, mm-hmm. bang, as an API. That's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Like especially for like open government and open data initiatives, I think this is amazing.
That's a big stake.
I'm trying to figure out like how can I use it myself, I was actually thinking about how could I use it for Walkup. I need to think a bit more.
I think it has a lot of uses. Actually, what I'm dreaming about is. Some 10 years ago, I was doing sociology and transcribing interviews and annotating them. This is one of the perfect use cases if you want to process speech, for instance. You might use this kind of web interface instead of the old school programs that we were using for producing concepts and analyzing texts. But it's a very technical use.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of work to do to make it, it is user-friendly, but not from a conceptual point of view.
Yeah.
You have to explain a lot to somebody.
Maybe it's just too complicated to make very user-friendly. Or, like, I think maybe the issue is not in the interface, but in what's underneath, and that is just a really complex process, what's going on.
Yes, I think so. You're right.
Okay, very cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah. In the load graph, there's several hundred vocabularies available.
Yes.
So how can you set a stumble, which vocabularies to use?
Yes. It has a quite ugly interface behind. I think I can show it. I can show the simpler version of it. So in the enhancer, it works right now with the default enhancement chain. The enhancement chain is a succession of plugins that run whenever processing occurs. And right now, after it does a lot of things coming from OpenLP, like language detection, like sentence detection, token detection, and parts of speech tagging, it does named entity recognition from OpenLP. This can be, it has no point in here. And then it starts doing linking with the DPPedia index. Then it writes, it does an entity hub extraction. Then it applies the semantic web entity linking, and finally the Drupal extraction. So all the components which are being configured from the backend, and you can define their ranks, their order of running. Whenever you are importing a new vocabulary, a new component is available for being inserted into a chain. so we can combine all sorts of treatments to the data.
So I wanted to ask, I mean, most of the time, I mean, if you have a Drupal site and you have lots of nodes annotated, what can you do with them? Often what I see examples that you can show other nodes that are similar or that it can help with search, but do you know any other use cases that are useful?
This depends on how well the vocabulary behind the processing is being designed. If it is a thesaurus style vocabulary where you have concepts that are organized in hierarchy and they have siblings, they have synonyms, all kinds of terms which are in their conceptual proximity, then you can create complex algorithms of content recommendation. And you can use the reasoning component to discover new relationships between the terms. That would be one approach, but it depends on how well the vocabulary is designed, the initial vocabulary that you're using to produce annotations.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you. And one last mention, even if it's late. You've seen earlier that we have a new Drupal camp, the 2013 edition. It's at Târgu Mureș, it's not so far away, not even from Budapest or from here. It's going to be in November, so we're waiting for you there as well. Thank you.